Triple J in the studio from Passion Pit. In fact, the manager slash coach of the Passion Pit soccer team, Michael, is in the studio. How you doing, man?
Very well. How are you?
Michael Angelakis, coach, manager.
I like manager.
Manager's better.
More, because, like, I'm operating from my hotel room, bed and my hotel room.
So while the rest of Passion Pit, or as we named you guys, I hope it's okay, earlier in the day, the Passion Pit Bulls.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Because of the attacking nature.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you guys, yeah, that's, thank you. Thanks. Thanks for assuming that we're that vicious.
On the soccer field, I meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
Good.
That's good. Yeah. Thanks.
But you're going to be overseeing the whole thing from
I've arranged everything. Who's, playing where, strikers, we're all set. We're all set. We have gear. We're all matching.
There was actual shopping today for
there was gear. Shopping that happened at some point in the, because everyone woke up so early, so they all just went out and got some boots and some shorts. Yeah, they're ready to go.
Gosh.
So
so the benefits.
Yeah, you'll get the bill. So
ABC is going to get the bill. Triple J will definitely foot the bill, to use a terrible pun. But that's the benefits of having some kind of crazy jet lag. You get up early and can achieve things, such as buying gear.
Yeah, like, for Triple J's.
Sorry. But if you're not going to be running around this afternoon, you certainly did a little bit of moving around on stage at the Parklife shows.
A little bit, yeah. That's kind of what I do.
Yeah, I was just saying, it must be fun. Like, you obviously do have some keyboards for you to play, but there's a whole bunch of other stuff going on around you. You are, like, you've got a lot of freedom to move around.
Yeah, well, we started off when we started touring a while ago. I would play all the songs as well, but it got to a point where the songs were so, I kind of liked interacting with the crowd more.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I moved away from the keyboards and started just singing and there is quite a bit going on, and we do, we perform everything with actual hardware, like real synthesizers, yeah. Not just a backing track. So
how many keyboards are on stage?
When we're fully outfitted, everything's actually working properly, there's about 18.
Wow.
And then we have, samplers and sequencers and things like that.
So that much musical equipment equates to how much talent on the soccer field?
Yeah, I mean,
direct sort of.
Let's do that. All right.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, yeah. Sure.
I'm Triple J. See, so who says sport and music can't mix in the one interview? Michael Angelakis from Passion Pit in the studio. Here is a song. In fact, I think you called up Tom and Alex when they first played this tune on the radio.
I did, and I was, that was really, they were really nice about it. I was surprised. I thought I was going to, what is this?
Well, I don't know. Did anyone do that? Was there any Australian accents yelling that?
No, not yet. Not yet.
The day is young. We do have heckling on the soccer field, maybe.
Yeah.
Triple J, here is Take a Walk. On Triple J from Gossamer, that is Passion Pit and Take a Walk. And from Passion Pit, Michael is in the studio. And thanks to Danny, who sent in a lovely text, that song saved her marriage. Isn't that nice?
That's really nice.
Nice. Do you get people sort of saying, thank you for your music, thank you, on a real personal level?
Yeah, especially since I've been a lot more open about, kind of the background of where I was when I was making the record and what I deal with personally. It's been a really very positive response. And it's been, people have been very supportive as well. So it's been this symbiotic relationship kind of,
Especially when making music's supposed to be, I guess this is like, there's a certain level of bravado or braggadocio to actually be able to say, oh no, there's crap going on in my life as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess most people wait to be that open about their issues. The only reason I really opened up about it was because we had to cancel so much.
Yeah.
But, and I felt like people were, they should be told the truth. Like there was something happening and I didn't really feel like, beating around the bush and being that honest and open about my issues has actually led to a greater understanding, and actually, I'm not like a spokesperson for bipolar disorder, but you know, it's helped some people, and that people have been very open about that. They've talked about their issues now, and they said that they find it inspirational or something. If it, for any other reason, I mean.
Yeah, because if people think maybe they're alone in it, but if someone who makes music that they love, that they see as this sort of, you know, pop rock star, is also going through it, it takes the levels away, takes the walls away, and makes them feel like they're not alone.
Well, it's the stigma of it that I think that I'm trying to eradicate. I find that, you know, just it's, you know, it's not really, it's very common, and so many people deal with it, and so many people try so hard to cover it up, and we're not supposed to talk about it at all. I hear there's a really huge a rugby player in Australia that came out about it or something recently or something.
There's definitely rugby players, rugby union players, rugby league players that talk about this stuff a lot, that are mm-hmm. very in touch. So I think it's these days sports players in Australia are very much, you know, trying to break down also that people thinking that this is a big tough guy.
Yeah, see, that makes me more, that's a very, you know, that's a really great example of the different worlds. You know, you try to, that's a very masculine kind mm-hmm. of thing, and you don't want to show any kind of.
What are you talking about? I mean, Passion Pit's one of the most masculine bands I know. I mean, come on, dude. It's just like you go, well, your crowd maybe at the Brisbane Park Life, a bunch of dudes with their shirts off.
I don't, everyone, you know, do you know when I first released music, most people thought that I was a girl.
Well, you do have a quite high-pitched singing voice.
I have four octaves, yes, but and I just chose to sing in the upper two, but for this particular project. But, you know, it's I think the androgyny is
it's enticing.
It's the interesting part about it for me.
Was it were there times when you would go to like a record store to play, or like people would go, Michael. Sorry, I was waiting for Michelle.
It's been, I mean, I think it's when I'm doing interviews like this, when people are like, your voice is deep. What's going on? And then they ask me if I use any effects or anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I just have a very weird voice. I don't know. I have no idea. And then I love like the interview questions that are like, I'll do some emailers, and someone will be like, when did you realize you could sing so high? And I have no idea. I don't really remember when I like just accessed that.
What about
that
in your diary? You went, today I discovered I could sing up here.
I don't know. I remember just feeling like a cut through the music, and that's about it.
Especially when you're making music in a loud environment, and you just got to sing high and loud to get through it all, I guess.
That's one way. I mean, maybe it's that simple. I don't know.
I'm talking to Michael, not Michelle. Angelica's from Passion Pit on Triple J. Two more Park Lives left. Mm-hmm. The album, the most recent album, Gossamer, was that just you in the studio, or was the whole band involved?
All the studio albums are recorded by me alone, except Manners did include some production efforts from Nathan, our drummer.
Okay.
So,
and what about and a choir as well? The choir of kids.
Oh, a bunch of. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Gossamer is a load of different people on as well. Okay. But you know, like Nico Muli did string arrangements and everything. But there's the studio portion, and then there's the live portion.
That's right. It's like two separate passions,
which makes it a lot more fun because we reinterpret, and we don't try to like just play. You know, I find bands that just play the album live are really boring. So we tried to.
Yeah.
You know, take a different stand up.
How do you do it when you like, you know, it's you and then the rest of the band, and you've got the new album, and like, do you just sit in the studio, let's work out how to play these songs?
Yeah, and it's totally democratic, and and we, you know, everyone has equal input, and we come together and we just decide like how we're going to approach a song, because there are ways that we refuse to play it the way that it's on record, and like Constant Conversations is much different live than it is on record, which I love, you know, and for me, especially as like I sit with these songs for so long, it breathes a whole new life into the project, and it makes it so much more enjoyable.
Which is not to say Constant Conversations, as the beautiful slow jam it is not awesome, is enjoyable on the album.
I like both versions, and sometimes I prefer the live version, which is great. You know, I love that. I think it's just a really interesting, it's a we're a weird animal. I'm not gonna lie, but
a fun animal.
It is. You know, at the end of the day, it has to be fun, or else what's the point?
There you go. Now, one question, just a complete nerd question. Can I ask, at the start of I'll Be All Right, and I guess you must have dealt with this when working out how to play it live, the vocal samples, where is that from?
I just sang a bunch of lines from there's a song that didn't make it on the album, and I cut it up, and I assigned different cuts of the sample to a drum trigger, MIDI drum trigger pad. And I literally played that drum trigger live, like with drumsticks. Mm-hmm. So that's those, each sample that the, you know, those are all different pads. And that's just my voice.
It really does sound like it is like a drum fill, but it's your voice making the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And who gets to play that live?
That is actually sequenced live because Nate, instead of using just cut up drum samples for the drums, Nate actually plays the drums live, which is amazing because those are cut up from several different takes of drums. So he actually found a way to figure out how to play it live. I found that amazing. So I preferred to hear that, you know.
It's very, very much fun.
It's super fun.
And I hope that after this afternoon's soccer match, he's not so bruised and injured that he won't be able to do that for the next two park lives. Where have you put him as manager?
You just made me very nervous.
You're the manager of
I might have to pull him.
Whoa.
Hey,
I'm working my this is like psychological, trying to get inside the park life.
He's probably one of our best players too, so you're really messing with me right now.
I've done my job. Michael, you may go. Hey, have an awesome time at the last two park lives, and we'll see you guys back soon. Cheers.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.